We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the NBA Front Office Show. Happy Monday. Got lots to talk about today going on around the world of the NBA. Of course, the playoff push. Lots of teams keeping a real close eye on the standings. A lot to discuss there. Keith, how you doing? Starting a new week? We even got a little Easter show in yesterday, which was fairly well received. It was nice to see.
Yeah, a lot of people were a little surprised. We had missed a day earlier in the week, so we came back around with the Easter show for everybody. But yeah, it was good. It was a low-key day. Got into a lot of good sports stuff yesterday. Mm-hmm. I had a really good time with that. In March Madness games on and everything. So yeah, it's been a busy week here of sports, but excited. I'm glad the NCAA stuff is winding down and can get really focused back in on the NBA as we're in the stretch run now, less than 2 weeks to go in the season.
Yeah, exactly. We definitely are. And this is an exciting time of year. The games, they matter a little bit more. Teams are getting trying to really lock in before the postseason starts up. And here we go. Before we know it, teams are going to be getting eliminated. So speaking of which, the 76ers, though, they've been pretty much on hold, just stuck in limbo, waiting to see what's going to happen with Joel Embiid. Well, now we're getting reports coming out today that Joel Embiid is coming back likely this week, could even play tomorrow for the 76ers. Again, nothing set in stone at this point, but we did see a workout video a couple of days ago. Looked pretty good. And this could be massive for Philly. I don't think they're going to get out of the play-in, Keith. I mean, they're not going to finish in the sixth seed. I think they're going to have to go through the play-in to get through into the playoffs proper. But they are a much, much more dangerous team with Joel Embiid. This team is built to have Joel Embiid on it. I still don't think they're going to make a deep playoff run, but this could definitely shift the outcome of the play-in, could create some nervous moments in, say, the first round. Joel Embiid coming back, the reigning MVP. This is a big deal.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, this just changes the ceiling for Philly. If they didn't have him, maybe they get through the play-in tournament, but they're an easy out in the first round. With Joel Embiid, they have a puncher's chance for sure. Maybe even more than that if he can come back and be Joel Embiid. And I think that's the important thing here is he's going to get to have a couple of weeks now to ramp back up. I don't think Philly is going to say, got to play in all seven games. I don't know if they're going to guess they maybe have one back-to-back in there. Yeah. We'll see. But you got to play all seven games, and we're going to push to try to win all seven of them and 40 minutes a night and all that stuff. I don't know that that's going to be the case, but I think it's just important. Get him back out there. Let him knock the rust off. Get back into a good rhythm. And then we're right back into it in the postseason. We'll see. I mean, right now, they're not getting caught from behind by the Bulls. The Bulls are four games back, so that's decided. They're only a game and a half by Miami. They're two games behind Indiana. So there's a slight chance maybe they could move up to six, maybe seven. They need to play well. They need the Pacers and Heat both to play poorly if they're going to move up to six. So we'll see. But it's certainly going to be a very tough team now and a very different kind of scenario for, like you said, Boston or Milwaukee if they do make it through the play-in tournament. Yeah, I'm kind of counting the Cavs out of catching the Bucks at this point, or the Knicks of catching the Bucks. So that's what makes it kind of fun, though, is like, what can Philly be with him back in the lineup?
Yeah, exactly. If it can Philly be that team that gets through. Now, could they give, you know, in this case, right, if the playoffs were to start right now, or the play-in was to start right now, it would be Miami and Philly in round one, and both of them would have a double elimination. I would expect that those would be the two teams that would get through that. But anything can happen in a one-game scenario. If Miami loses the first game, Philly loses the first game, they're going up against either Chicago or Atlanta in a win-or-go-home situation. Who knows? Maybe somebody gets hot on the other side, and anything can happen. But I would predict that those are the two teams that are most likely to make it through the play-in. But nonetheless, if Philly has Joel Embiid, this gives them a much better shot, potentially a chance. I mean, you're two games back, Indiana, a chance to move up into the sixth seed. But most likely they'll be in the play-in. And then I don't think they're going to be easy for anybody to deal with. And like I said, even if they drop game one to Miami, if then based on how things are situated now, I would predict they'd be the team that would get through out of the remaining Bulls or Hawks, whatever team is still left standing.
Yeah, completely agreed. And I would not have given them much of a chance to beat Miami on the road in that first play-in game, if that's sure what the matchup ends up being. But I would give them a pretty good chance of beating Chicago or Atlanta, especially in Philadelphia. I think, you know, they've been a pretty good home team. They're kind of average on the road, kind of middling team there. So I think they've got a chance to, you know, now make some noise. And then, yeah, it looks like we're staring down either Celtics and 76ers for what feels like the 50th time in the last 4 years somehow in the playoffs, and the Sixers Bucks, which is Giannis and Embiid going head to head, which I think people would really like. And they're not a normal eight seed, right? We go through this. Like, I remember this is going back a ways, but you remember when the Knicks made the finals run from the eight seed
in the shortened season?
Yeah, the shortened, the lockout season. And by the time – I remember when we got there, everybody was like, this is not your normal eight seed. This team is – they had injuries. They kind of stumbled into the postseason at this point, but they're a much better team. And then they made a finals run with that. Even Miami last year was not your kind of normal low-seeded team. That they were thought to be much better than that, and it just had a rough regular season. So that's kind of what the play-in tournament has brought us. It brings you a little bit of a different look, and I get it, right? They'd still be eight seeds if we didn't have the play-in tournament, but nothing's guaranteed here either. I think Chicago's thinking, hey, man, we got DeMar DeRozan. If there's a single game player you would like to have, he's probably pretty high on the list because he tends to come up pretty clutch in these games. So we'll see. And then, you know, you could always, if Atlanta got through, you could always see Trae Young if he's back, which sounds like maybe he might make it back. If he can, you could see him go off, or maybe DeJounte Murray has one of those nights where he takes 40 shots and goes off. We'll see. It's going to be fun to watch. These playing tournaments are going to be something else this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially when we get over, I mean, that's just the Eastern Conference. You look at the West and the star power that's going to be there in the play-in. Whew, my goodness. Keith, sometimes there's stuff that, as much as absorbed into basketball as you and I are, sometimes there's basketball adjacent stories that are a reminder that there is more to life than basketball, of course. Now, Justin Zanuck, the GM for the Utah Jazz, is going to have to undergo a kidney transplant. And no surprise, Keith, given you are very familiar with him, obviously, but no surprise that in the story, it's already added in that, yeah, he expects to be back for like the draft and free agency and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are just built so different than a lot of people. And I would hope that this means, one, let's all hope in this, he's having the transplant done. I believe it's tomorrow. I think it's on the 2nd that's getting done. So let's hope that gets done with no complications and he is able to come back and do his job. And that's great, but that's really secondary to, let's just first hope the transplant goes well and everything. There's a lot of details in there too about how his kids are dealing with already a condition. And on top of that, they've now been told they're going to probably, all three of his children are going to need kidney transplants before they're of the age of 30, which is just, you know, that's just scary. You know, again, the article starts out with his wife, like hounding him, like, you need to go to the doctor, like, and just go see the Jazz team doctor. Like, you have a doctor you can just go to, you need to go. And he was like, you know, I'm busy. And it talks in there, it's like, I've got a scouting trip and I've got this and I've got that and summer league and free agency and all this stuff. And it was like, you need to go to the doctor. And then he went, and that's lesson number one. Like, if you're able, go to the doctor. Like, it's, I know a lot of people are not, Or it's going to cost them, you know, an insane amount of money. And even if you go with insurance, it costs you a lot. But if you have the ability, go get your checkups, go get things done, take care of yourself as best you can. And I'll, you know, poster child for somebody who doesn't do it enough. Like you got to be better about that. Take care of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of taking care of yourself, LeBron James noted just recently that he doesn't have much time left on the basketball. This is a guy who is taking care of himself, perhaps to a greater degree than, well, most athletes out there, maybe ever. He's constantly spent a ton of money on his body and trying to make sure that he can stay active and on the floor for as long as he possibly can. And he is 39 years old, the oldest player in the NBA. He admitted last night after their game against the Nets that he doesn't have much time left to play the game of basketball. Now, Keith, that how much time left? Who knows exactly what that means? And obviously, this is not as serious of a situation as the one that Justin Zanuck is dealing with. This is simply, you know, retirement potentially pending. But LeBron James, the clock is ticking for him. That's a pretty big deal, and is going to matter this summer. He's not going to want to spend time someplace that he doesn't think that he can win. So that's going to matter for the Lakers, their free agency efforts to keep LeBron James, who does have a player option this year.
Yeah, and it's been noted too. I think Jovan Buha was on this, as well as I think Dave McMenamin has said this is also is that him and the Lakers both want to finish out with him with the Lakers. Like that's, you know, that's probably how it should be at this point. Like I tend to think that's how it'll probably go. I did think it was funny where LeBron said, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but something to the akin of, I know I don't have 21 more years left in me.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. You're not going to play till you're in your 60s. Oh, okay. Now, if LeBron's still playing and playing well in 5 more years, I'm probably just going to be like, okay, whatever. Like, I don't know what to make of this anymore. This is because this is already way beyond anything we ever thought. Anybody else who's been playing at this age, they're just kind of more there as a locker room vet presence. Like they're not really thought of as a all NBA guy, which is what LeBron's going to be this year. Like it's absurd that he is playing, not only playing, but playing at the level he is playing at. And he talked a lot at, cause he had 9 3-pointers yesterday, talked a lot about how like I've had to really, you know, work on my jump shot more because teams are going to give it to me more. And that's, you know, where I am at in my career and all those kind of things. And I was just asked about this past week on a radio spot where I said, I've done a complete 360 on LeBron, meaning I was all in on LeBron when he came into the league because people were like, high school kid's not going to work. He's not even big like Kevin Garnett. You know, this isn't going to be a thing. And I was like, this kid is amazing. Like, he's going to be good. Then he went to Miami and I was like, at that point, I was like, I'm out. Like, you don't want anything here. Then he went back to Cleveland and won. And now it's just still going. And I'm like, I'm back in. Like now I've come around to the, like, I'm just appreciating it because it's, I know we say this all the time. We're never going to see this again. We may, like, who knows, right? Like guys are playing deeper into their careers all the time. Guys now know, hey, taking care of my body from day one is priority. Like I need to, you know, do everything I can. So maybe we see something like this again, but this is, I feel very blessed that the two best players in the world. And I'm not ready to debate that today. I don't know when I will be, sometime after LeBron retires, but MJ and LeBron, I get to see both of them play the entirety of their careers. Like that's something that I don't know that I'd like basketball as much as I do without that. And obviously without Larry Bird being the fundamental player in my, you know, early sports fandom of basketball. Like I just unbelievable like that. You know, we get to this, and I just hope people do take a moment, even when you're rooting against a guy, to be like, man, it's crazy that here we are 2 decades later, we're still watching this dude do his thing.
You know, it's funny that you went there, which shows how like-minded you and I are sometimes. I literally, about 15 minutes before we sat down, or it's not released yet, I recorded a segment for Lakers Nation where I said almost the exact same thing, that he's extremely polarizing, that even if you're a LeBron hater, you can't stand the guy, that 10 years from now, you're going to look back and you're always going to say, man, that guy was great at basketball. The stuff that you didn't like about him or whatever, that stuff tends to fade away as you recognize how great the guy is and how incredibly talented he is and how fortunate we are that we get to watch this all the time. And so to just take that time and appreciate that, because it doesn't last forever. And that's the key. Even with a guy like LeBron, who seems to be, you know, a demigod and just carved from stone, and he's never going to falter. No, that's it's going to happen at some point. Sooner, as LeBron says, sooner rather than later, he's going to call it quits. So you got to make sure that you do appreciate this while you can right now.
Yeah, even if your favorite thing about LeBron is rooting against LeBron,
sure,
you're going to miss it when it's gone. Like, that's just the reality. I go back to, I was at no point in time during his playing career was I a fan of Kobe. I just, I respected him. I thought he was a great, great player. And I wrote, one of my early pieces for Real GM was, Kobe Bryant's been around so long, he's actually now turned into being underrated as a player. I think there was a point where if he had retired before his last few years, people might have put him, been like, yeah, he was a top 10 guy. Then I think he hung around and that started to eat away a little bit for more casual fans or people who didn't like him, were like, he's just trying to pile up stats and all that stuff. But I was never really a fan of Kobe. But when Kobe retired, I was like, man, this kind of stinks. Like, now I don't have him to root against anymore. Right. Like, I wanted to root against him. And that's, you know, part of sports, right? That's part of sports fandom. Like, I can't tell you how many people have said that to me with the Patriots, with Tom Brady. That was like, that sucks. He's gone, man. I wanted to beat you guys with him. Not now with this collection of random quarterback cast-offs that you're playing. Like, it's the same kind of thing. Once you achieve that level, like, it really is unbelievable. So, yeah, man, I'll definitely miss him whenever he does hang it up 5, 6, 10, 12 years from now, whenever that may be.
You need a great villain, and we see it all the time in the superhero movies that we talk about. If you don't have a great villain, you typically don't have a great movie. You can think of so many examples where the villain is just kind of blah, and you wind up with a blah movie. But you get a great villain, and sometimes we see great villains in movies that don't utilize them properly and stuff like that. But for the most part, you get a great villain. You get a Thanos, right? And next thing you know, you've got an all-time classic movie. So. Yeah, it's the villains matter. Even having somebody to root against, that's really important.
Yeah. I mean, you can enjoy it by just saying, man, I don't care who wins, I'm just going. But ultimately, I think we all have a little bit more fun. We have something more invested as far as,
sure,
I want a team to win or I want a team to lose. That always feels a little bit different than being just, you know, hey, I'm just here to watch. Like, it was funny though, last night, did you watch any of that Thunder Knicks game?
Like, just, I did not.
I didn't care who won or lost, meant absolutely nothing to me either way. And just an unbelievable game. I mean, the teams were making plays down the stretch and both sides were complaining about the refs, because that's instant what people do. And no matter what, everything is, you know, you're being robbed at the end of games. And then I think more people come back like, and we just got beat. But what a great game. And I left it. I shut the TV off after watching. I was like, man, like, this basketball is just the best. Like, it's just the best. Like, I just, you know, it was such a great game. I was like, I'm so fortunate that this is what I get to do.
Speaking of what you get to do, let's give a quick shout out to the Basketball Bulletin. You just published a piece today. Take the good with the bad, the Southeast Division. I'll put the link in the description down below if you guys want to support us directly. A great way to do that is to subscribe to our Substack, the Basketball Bulletin. Do you want to explain what this is all about here, Keith?
Yeah, I wanted to do some quick hit thoughts on a couple things with each team. And I was kind of going through it and I was like, well, I could do like underreported, underrated things that have been going on. And then I was like, yeah, but I want to be positive, but I like to balance everything if I can. And then I was like, you know what, I'll do something good for each team and something bad. And I started with the Southeast Division and wrote something good and something bad. And I tried not to pick super obvious things. Like I wasn't like, the Orlando Magic are great. Like, that's a good thing. Like, they're having a great season. Or Paolo Banchero is becoming an all-around star. I went a little under the radar and I went like Jalen Suggs. Like, people have missed how good he's been this year defensively and offensively. And then on the bad side, I tried not to do like super duper obvious things. Like for the Hawks, I didn't do like the Trae Young DeJounte Murray pairing doesn't really work out. I went to, felt a little mean because he's out for the season, but I was like, what happened to Sadiq Bey's shot? Like, well, what is going on here? He only shot 32% or whatever it was from three this year. So I tried to, do two of those for each team. And I think I'm going to do that for all the teams going forward. It's also a good way for me. I'm in the middle of prepping and writing offseason previews and free agent previews and all these things where I, these are ways to dive a little deeper. And then I end up making 100 notes. Like these things take me way longer to write than they should, because then I write down a bunch of notes that I'll use later somewhere else as I'm kind of doing research on different things. So a lot of fun. And our buddy Bryce continues to crank out his scouting reports and his raw scouting notes. Has one up on Dalton Connect from Tennessee. A lot of people, if they hadn't seen him, probably saw him play yesterday and play pretty well. So, it was yesterday. Bryce has his scouting report on him up, and he's rapidly become one of my favorite players in this draft.
Yeah, Bryce is doing a fantastic job there. You can find all of his breakdowns, of course, on the Basketball Bulletin as well. I should have something up tomorrow on there. So, you guys, we've got all kinds of stuff coming out there. Go check out the Basketball Bulletin. I'll put the link in the description down below. Again, if you love the NBA, you love basketball, great, great stuff that we've got going on there. Keith, last news topic that we've got for today, or one of the last ones, Kevin Porter Jr. signs in Greece. What are your thoughts there? He's going to try to reignite his career now after the NBA. Well, it didn't quite work out.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think this is great, and I hope Kevin Porter makes it back. Yeah. I hope he figures it out, gets everything sorted in his life, and gets back to the NBA. We took a lot of heat back when we were talking about Kevin Porter Jr., because we were both like, hey, if this ends up being true, get him out of the league. Mm-hmm. Now it came out, maybe there was a little bit more to the story. And that's why we always say if with these things. Like, we're not judge, jury, executioner here. Like, we're just going with the details we have and sharing our opinions on what it was. And now there's been some stuff was, I don't know if retracted is the right word. I'm trying to be careful here, but it was maybe things as they were initially came out and handled didn't end up that way. There was a lot of stuff went on where Kevin Porter Jr. basically wasn't charged with the same stuff that he was initially or in the end and all these things. But a lot of that cleared up. I'll leave it with this. I hope Kevin Porter goes over to Greece, has a good end run to the season. It may take into next year. We'll see. But if he can make it back and prove like, hey, all that stuff was not what people thought it was, and I have cleaned things up, I'm ready. I will also say this. That incident was the final straw incident for NBA teams. He's had a lot of other things go on throughout his career, both with the Cavaliers and the Rockets. And the Rockets were like, all right, we're like, this one's a bridge too far. We're done. They obviously, we know they traded him to the Thunder. Thunder ultimately released him. But let's hope he can get his career on track and go. I look at it similar to a lot of other guys that have had these kind of troubles in their careers. I always root for all of them to get their lives figured out and get things going in the right direction.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we take no joy in guys struggling or anything like that. You want to see play. You know, I want to see these incredible athletes, the best athletes in the world at their best. I want to see these guys out there performing, but there's some things that you got to take care of, obviously off the court as well. You've got to make sure that you're doing what you need to do. And as long as that's happening, great. And I hope wish him all the best. I hope that he's able to reinvigorate his career and then make an epic comeback. Because I'll tell you what, Keith, everybody loves a big comeback story. Everybody loves it.
Yep. Yeah. We love to tear a guy down, that we love to celebrate him when they build themselves back up.
Yep. All right. Keith, you know our motto around here, just hot takes, no hoops. What's on your mind right now?
So after watching the NCAA tournament, there's no doubt in my mind, Zach Edey should probably be the number one pick in the NBA draft. He's been absolutely dominant throughout the tournament run. I fully believe that he is going to come in, completely change the league. I'll go as far as saying he's just as big as Victor Wembanyama, probably just as generational a prospect as Victor Wembanyama. Teams are sleeping on him. If he doesn't go number one, these teams are crazy.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to disagree. The center position is all the rage in the NBA right now. It's how you build teams. You build them inside out. And so I'm in agreement. In fact, I think that if a team was willing to make a big move, like if you're willing to sacrifice a star right now and go get that number one pick in order to get Edey, I think that might make a lot of sense for some of these teams. Now, I wouldn't go quite as far as saying trade Wemby. But he could be obviously on an insane level. But even somebody that's as established as, I mean, dare I say, Luka, could you part ways with Luka? If you're the Mavs and you can lock in the next 10, 15 years of having a generational big man like that, I think that maybe you need to go ahead and pull the trigger on something like that. And it obviously depends on who gets the number one pick, whether or not they're even willing to do something like that, given how good Edey's going to be. But Keith, I think you're on the money with this. I think Zach Edey is the guy from this draft that you absolutely have to get. And if you're not doing everything you can to move up and get him, well, you're missing out.
Yeah, without a doubt. I'll also say that's inspired by you with the Dallas take. One of my favorite players and people, Kyrie Irving's already there. Keep Kyrie. You've already got the ball handling, scoring, creation stuff. Go lock the big man down. Derek Lively's he's all right. I think he'll probably be okay. But if you can get your center position, like you said, everybody's trying to get centers, right? That's all people want, is we're locking down the big man position. Let's run it that way. I mean, absolutely. Let's go with that. I'll go one more thing further too. If Zach Edey is where he should be as the centerpiece of Canada basketball, they're going to win the gold medal at the Olympics. If they are smart, they plug him in, run the offense through him, do everything that they can, they will probably win the gold medal at the Olympics this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for Team USA to match up with that, regardless of what Joel Embiid does. Like, how are you supposed to deal with that? That's going to be extremely difficult. So I'm in agreement with that. I think Team USA is the underdog if Canada can go ahead and get that done. And speaking of Embiid, the reigning MVP and all that, I'm going to say that Nikola Jokic this year, I don't think I've been in favor of him winning the MVP. I don't think he's going to do it. I don't think, you know, Denver, they haven't impressed me enough down the stretch. They don't execute in crunch time like I would expect them to. And so I don't think Jokic is the MVP. I don't think he's going to win it. I think somebody else is going to sneak in there and get the job done. And Keith, it could be, because the MVP really should just go to the best player on the team that's won the most games. I think it's going to be Jason Tatum this year.
I mean, we all know it should absolutely be Jason Tatum, without a doubt. There's no question in my mind with that at all. I think, though, he's not eligible to win because he's missed too many games. I think it's pretty clear the real MVP of the league right now is Ja Morant. because the Grizzlies just have not been the same team, and he's been out. So we can look at it and say, this was a team that was really good the last couple of seasons in contention. And then Ja Morant goes out, misses the first part of the year with the suspension, then the injury, and they're not good. So I think that's, you know, very, very, very clear there. But yeah, I'm fine if you want to go with Tatum. I'd be fine if you wanted to even vote for somebody like, you know, maybe James Harden has been good for a Clippers team. You know, push him up the list. The Clippers were, they haven't played like this the last couple of seasons without him. Now James Harden's there. He helps lift that team and pushes them into contention. So, you know, those guys should be pretty high on the list. I would think, you know, maybe we get somewhere where, you know, if you want to go a little bit further down, teams that have, you know, kind of struggled a little, Zach LaVine should probably get more MVP love. He's not going to win, hasn't played enough games. But the Bulls have fallen way off without him in the lineup too. So these are things that I think people don't look deep enough into these MVP cases at all. I think they just like the shiny names and the cool, fun story of the guy on a good team, and they just go crazy with this stuff. And that, to me, that's just too much. Like, we should be smarter with this. Like, let's be better about our MVP discourse and talk about the guys, even if they're eligible to win. Let's make sure we talk about all of them.
Keith, you want to be better about your MVP discourse? What's wrong with you? You're supposed to be the Celtics guy, and you're saying, John, I just gave you Jason Tatum. How could you not agree with me on Jason Tatum? You're going Ja Morant, Zach LaVine. These guys have barely even played this season. They don't hold a candle to Jason Tatum and what he's done this year. I don't know how you can really bleed green and not pick Jason Tatum. Keith, you are off your rocker. You've lost it. This is absolutely absurd.
Yeah, it might seem crazy, but the reality is, this is Kristaps Porzingis' team now, right? Like, they've turned it over to Porzingis. It's his team now. Tatum is, at best, maybe the fourth or fifth best player on this team. Derek White and Drew Holiday are both outstanding defensive players, and they do a lot of the playmaking responsibilities. He's just a scorer. Doesn't do anything else beyond that. All he does is score. Like, I can't get there. Like, it's, you know, he's just been carried to this, you know, heights by these guys. And that's it. The team, you know, the only reason they have the best record is because they went out and got Porzingis and they turned so much over to him. You can see their record when he doesn't play. It's not very good. They'll be lucky to get through the first round if Kristaps Porzingis can't play, because that's how important he is. I mean, Tatum's just, he's just another guy on the roster at this point.
It's Kristaps' world. We're all just living in it.
That's it. Yeah, the big Latvian there is there. And I don't think they're even in the Olympic qualifiers, but people should be happy they're not. Otherwise, it would probably be Canada versus Latvia in the Olympic final, playing for the gold. That's, you know, they just, Team USA just doesn't stack up, you know, once you load up these other teams with these main guys. They just couldn't be there. I'm going to leave you with one more thought.
Yeah.
There's all this talk of what teams are going to make runs, you know, in the postseason and these kind of things. Look out for the Chicago Bulls. Nobody knows how to play close games like they do. They play in a ton of close games. DeMar DeRozan, absolutely dominant at the end of these games. They have a negative scoring differential, but it's only 1.5. So that means that they're in most of the games that they play. I think you get him out there. You know, you got Nikola Vucevic, you got, you know, these guys. I would hope that they would really give a much, much bigger role to some of their other guys, you know, if they really need to, you know, start. Alex Caruso had 7 3-pointers last night. He should probably take a minimum of 20 three-point shots per game, no matter what. Run things through him. Watch out for the Bulls. I think, you know, if any team's going to make a run from the play-in tournament to the finals this year, it's probably going to be Chicago. And we know their fans are all about it. They love this team. They love the direction of the team. They've been so happy.
That front office.
Yeah. They love the front office, the ownership, the way they commit, go all in around these guys. They this is, you know, what they've been waiting for. They want this team, you know, to do this. And this is a group that they're behind. And you know what? Good for them for mostly sitting out the trade deadline and saying, we got the right guys. We're going to hold fast. We're not making these moves. We're going to keep things moving.
Yeah, anytime you can let Andre Drummond's value expire on your roster, you have to do it.
Absolutely,
absolutely have to do that.
Yeah, and you couldn't trade him because now you're looking at, all right, we've got him coming back. We've got his free agent rights. You know, I probably, you know, the bag, right? Is that what the kids say?
Max him.
Give him the bag. Yeah, yeah. Max him to whatever you can and make sure you get that locked up. If you can lock, we talked about it before. If you can lock up two centers right now on $20 million a year contracts, do it. You should be, you know, Drummond and Vooch together, you know, for 20 plus million each. You absolutely need to do that. It doesn't matter that they can't really play together. That gives you 48 minutes of center play. And that's what everybody's looking for. That's all the small ball stuff. It's gone. No, those days are over. Nobody really wants that. And yeah, you know, let's run out with big ball again.
Yeah. It's gone out of style. Just, you know, just like the internet, right? I mean, remember when that was a thing? Yeah. Same thing now with this whole small ball shooting threes idea. No. It's back to the basket. It's throw the ball into the post, burn the clock, and then hit a little turnaround jump hook. That's Andre Drummond's game, and that's fitting the new wave of the NBA. I don't know how much longer I can keep this up. obviously, we're just having a little fun for April Fool's Day here, everybody.
I hope a lot of people don't watch to this point.
Hopefully.
And they're like, what the hell happened to this show? I shut it off at 25 minutes. These guys went crazy. They lost their minds with all this. So yeah, no, we're just having a little bit of fun on April Fool's.
We obviously did not script that out much. We really just started saying like the opposite of what we typically say on a show. So it kind of was a pseudo opposite day, but I like that. I like the John Morant for MVP. That was pretty. I was not expecting that one. And the Chicago Bulls making a playoff run, making a run to the finals. Well done.
Look, if any of these come true, I'm 100% making sure we clip them and play them back for all time.
Oh yeah.
Zach Edey does set the
when
world.
Zach Edey is the MVP in 5 years. We are going to find this.
And guys, we're having fun. Zach Edey's a good player. He should be a good high draft pick. It's just. Poke a little fun. Part of it was too, for me, why I picked him was listening to the college basketball announcers just gush over how unbelievable and unstoppable he is, and you know how he's just gonna set the NBA on fire next year. And it's a little like, all right, settle down. Like watch something other than Purdue versus East West North directional state. Come on, let's settle in here. But congrats to Purdue, congrats to NC State, Alabama, North Carolina. North Carolina, UConn. That's our final four. UConn and Alabama, Purdue and NC State. I kind of want UConn and Purdue to watch the two big guys, Klingon and Edey, go head to head. I think that'd be a lot of fun and a little instructional for us as for draft purposes and the like. But yeah, we just want to have a little bit of fun and close out the show today.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for today. We appreciate all of you joining the show. Make sure, no fooling, make sure you do subscribe to the channel. Turn on those notifications as well. Then give us that 5-star rating and review over on Apple Podcasts. Till tomorrow, everybody. See ya. Stay safe and do your best to not get pranked. Or do the pranking. Be the pranker and not the pranky. All right, everybody. See ya.